When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Everybody, Cowboy Carter has changed my life.
Mine
Kendrick
as well.
Kendrick and I were just texting back and forth yesterday, and I had to be like, okay, last one, I swear. But Sweet Honey Buckin.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What is her problem? What is wrong with her?
Oh my God.
So Kendrick and I need to just go off for a little bit, okay? Like, all right.
I feel like that was the week in pop culture too, so like, it's appropriate.
Yeah, it really was, because when it starts, when American Requiem starts, it's got like a, I this was the thought I had was, how dare you? How could you do this? It's giving me like a little Janis Joplin rock and roll, but then full blown country anthem, and ends with angelic choir harmonies. And I am screaming, yes, Jesus, amen.
Yes. Yes. Come on, Vicky.
And then Blackbird.
Yeah.
Blackbird made me cry instantly. And did you know the history of that song?
Yes, but I love that story, but tell it.
So Paul McCartney wrote it about the 60s and civil rights movement, and Black Bird is actually black girl, because in England, bird is a girl. And so it's literally written for black women. And so she has four black country stars on the track. And so it's so full of emotion, and it's just so, oh my God, it's so good. I put it on, I start crying. It's like, oh my God. And then the Blackbird goes in to 16 carriages, which makes 16 carriages even better now.
Right? Which I didn't think was possible. Cause like, what a song.
What a song.
Oh my God.
What a fucking song. And then what is her problem with putting Protector next with little baby Rumi's voice? Like, oh, okay.
Do, 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 do.
And then she puts in My Rose, which is like a quick vocal technique flex. That is just to remind everyone, I can literally do anything. I can literally do I want to do. And then this concept that she's got as like, it's the country radio station. That's like this, which is brilliant.
Willie Nelson. I know. So good.
Country. Okay.
Yes.
But she has Willie Nelson doing the Smoke Hour. And so someone I know first listened to the album, and they said, and I quote, it's just not what I was expecting. And I said, what does that even mean? I was a little insulted. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, well, what were you expecting? Doesn't have to be what you were expecting. I don't know. I got like annoyed by that.
I wouldn't have known what to expect from a Beyonce.
That's what I said.
You know, she's so genre bending that you don't know what to expect whenever she gives you something. So what would you go in expecting? I don't even know.
what he said was the duets or the collaborations were just not what I thought they would be. And I'll let you listen to it. And then when I listened to it, I was like, okay, but that's because it was very symbolic. The people that she chose to do the quote duets with, but they're really just introing her next song. That is because at the 2016 Country Music Awards, you see, she felt like an outsider. And then she decided, let me look into this history of country music right here. And I can only imagine for Black people how much deeper this album hits. Like, I'm almost envious of the feelings that you guys can access on this, because I can tell there are layers that I can't even understand. So what she has done here is so fucking genius.
Oh, my God. I was not expecting, like, you know, Rolling Stone gave it a perfect 100. They said it was an instant classic, which is like, whoa.
They never do that.
Right. So, like, already high praise. This album is just so, like, it was going to be a hard sell for, I think, me and most of Black America, because, you know, country has not been the most, it's now become like, almost like the Confederate flag and like a lot of other things that like become these symbols of like, you're not welcome. And so having like the biggest artist in the world come and say, I'm Black and I'm about to do a country album and I'm about to, you know, do all this. And
yes,
it was going to be a hard sell for us, but she sold the fuck out of it to us. She like she, sold it. Everything, like my section, like the entire album is amazing, but for me, like, you know me, like three different people. It's so funny because three different people text me and said, oh, my God, you must be dying over Two Hands to Heaven. I was like, of course I am. Like, that's my favorite song. Like, what do you mean? One was Kaya and one was Tom Hamlin. Then one was, y'all don't know them, but they instantly knew, because that's Kaya was like, that's your plastic off the sofa. I'm like, yes, it is. Yep. Like,
Beyonce.
That is my jam. That just, it like effortless, rhythmic, just perfection, souls, like everything. Like, I love it. But going from Riverdance to that, and then going into Tyrant, and then Sweet Honey Bucking, right? My God. Like, what a 20 minutes. What a 20 minutes. Good Lord.
I haven't been obsessed and touched by an album like this in a long time. Because I was actually just saying the other day to somebody about how the funny thing as you get older is that music artists tend to be very young.
Yeah.
And so sometimes like Olivia Rodrigo just seems like a 12-year-old to me. And as much as like her music is incredible, I'm like, I just feel like a grandma compared to her. And like, I just don't connect to it. And I thought that, and I said, I was like, maybe just that's what it is. As you get older, you just don't really connect to music. Like,
and you realize
when you were younger.
You realize you're not the tastemaker necessarily anymore. Yes. Too. Yes, and that's exactly a hard pill to swallow. It's like, okay, my opinion does not matter. Right. It does not matter anymore. Okay.
They weren't asking what my thoughts were on this at all. But this album just gets me, because like, you can feel the intentions. It was also intentional. The composition of it, the orchestration, the strings, the drums, the guitar. It's like, this was one of the most perfect from start to finish albums ever.
So like, just perfection. The 100 was earned. Can like, I say like
Bodyguard?
Bodyguard.
I'm just like, what do I do with this?
Like, yeah, I know. Like, give me a convertible, like take me to California, let me drive down Sunset. Like, oh my God,
what in the hell? And then the way she does Jolene,
oh my God.
Now see, we all knew she's gonna maybe cover Jolene, but we didn't know she's gonna reimagine it as a woman who basically like puts a gun out on the table and says, so you still want to come talk to my man?
Exactly.
I was like, that's the way it should be.
She still got like a decade worth of Becky with the good hair inside of her. So it makes sense. I love it. My favorite, there have been so much social media like tweeting
I know.
About this album. And the Jolene one was probably one of my favorite ones. I'm going to find it really quickly, because I think it was, I saw it on Donnie's page. Donnie posted.
Oh, wait, and, I know which one you're talking about.
Yes, when he's like, gay guys standing Jolene, like, bitch, that's you. You are Jolene. Like, okay. Like, you're literally who she's singing about. Like, stop.
It's so true. I want to say hi to everybody in the chat. We just started talking and like got all distracted.
They're wishing us happy Easter. Hi, everybody.
Happy Easter. The line, I raised that man, I raised his kids. I know that man better than he knows himself. Okay. You don't want this smoke, so shoot your shot with someone else. That's right.
Period.
And then daughter is like a warning. Like, I'm fucking crazy, but I'm super in control. So listen to this guitar as I warn you of this impending death. Then this bitch does opera. Motherfucking opera.
In Italian. In Italian. Like, are you kidding me? I didn't realize. It took me till yesterday because I've been listening to the album on repeat since Thursday night when it came out. But it took me till yesterday to realize how beautiful that song is. And I played it like four times in a row yesterday. I was like, good Lord, this is a track. Like, put Teresa Giudice on the remix and like, let's have a good time. Okay.
Bring in a fucking harmonizing chorus while she gives us this White Lotus theme song vocals. And then all of the strings she brings in for the last verse. And I honestly do not know how this does not get album of the year. I really don't.
It's going to piss me off. I didn't know how Renaissance didn't either, but
tell me about it.
Right.
You know, I have a confession, and she might be upset with me for calling her out, but my sister felt like Harry Styles should have won. And I think she forgot who she was talking to. I think she forgot who she was talking to, too, because she was like, because she came in from running errands or whatever the next day, like after the Grammys. And she's like, everyone is so upset that Harry Styles won, but like Beyonce's album didn't even have a ballad on it. And I went, you are talking to the wrong
Exactly.
Okay.
No one. His album wasn't even like reviewed. Styles, like,
please,
what?
Harry Styles, after that dumbass performance he gave, please. Don't even talk to me about that. So this one though, and this one is so genre bending that I dare anyone who's like, I don't even like Beyonce to just listen to it because it's unlike anything we've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything we've ever heard. But then, so after that warning of daughter, spaghetti, which is like a nod to like the spaghetti westerns, right?
Yes.
And then she did the opera in Italian. So I was like, did she do that? Because it was, she did.
You know, rapping B is my favorite B. So a good time. She had made a Marvel reference. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. At the snap of my fingers, I'm Thanos. Are you kidding? Are you pass it to Hova? And then alligator tears starts like the country classic. Oh. I didn't know I needed right after spaghetti. Like, I didn't know that's what I needed, but when alligator tears started, I was like, yes, that's the journey I wanted to go on.
Yes,
I didn't know that was the journey, but that is the journey.
That's it.
And then this, the significance of what Willie Nelson says for the second smoke hour is sometimes you don't know what you like until someone you trust turns you on to some real good shit. And that is why I'm here. Up next on the Smoke Hour is Just for Fun by Beyonce. You're welcome. It's like, fine. If you guys are afraid because it's Beyonce, it's new. Here's Willie Nelson to tell you, you can like it.
Which is insane because needing someone to like justify one of the biggest pioneers in music, like doing something just for you to listen is insane. But okay.
It's insane.
But don't you love the fact that like him, Dolly Parton, Linda Martin, like all these people were so like welcoming and just like wanted to do nothing but lift her up and like in the whole like theme of everyone, you know, all these random people, like especially these younger country artists being like, ooh. These younger country artists being like, what was it? One guy who I'd never heard of before either said, I ain't never seen Beyonce at the rodeo, whoever he was. I don't know who
he was. Yeah, whoever that idiot was.
Yeah. So, well, I've never seen you at the Grammys, so we're even.
Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, I love that one.
Eileen Davidson, bam.
Yes, bam. That was so good. Just for Fun with Willie Jones, too. So a Black country artist giving him a classic country song, because that's what she's going to do with it. Because I didn't know there were a bunch of Black country artists. I didn't know that because I don't listen to country music.
Right. Like, a lot of people.
What Beyonce
didn't.
Has done is literally reclaimed country. That's fucking huge.
Mm-hmm. And man, he has the voice for it.
Oh, he has the voice. He has the voice. And again, it's a lot. It's like giving us big drum and then it's string and just the orchestration. Mm-hmm. But then don't even get me started on Two Most Wanted. I need to duet. Kendrick, let's duet that.
Ooh.
Okay. I'll be Miley, you be Beyonce.
Okay.
Okay. We will rehearse this.
Yes.
Ready for the music video. Yes. Okay. I'll be your shotgun, baby. Are you crazy? Don't you tell me I'll be your shotgun. It's so good. I can't.
Oh.
Oh, it makes me crazy. And then Levi's jeans with Post Malone. It's kind of magical because it's a sexy track, but it has the most like innocent, warm and fuzzy flow.
A teenage bop to it. Yeah.
Ooh, a little but it's like, it's sexy. Like, come here, you pretty little thing. Oh, I love it. Oh, I'm going to like seduce someone with it. I'm going to get married just so I can make that my wedding song.
Yes.
Okay.
That's perfect. My other favorite tweet to come out of this was that someone said it sounds like she made Post Malone take a bath. And now that's all I can think about because that's got to be the truest thing. Because I was like, why in the world am I suddenly okay with Post Malone? Like this, his music has always like been nails on a chalkboard to me. But like this felt like a whole new person.
I agree, Kendrick.
Like maybe I'm okay with Country Malone. Just Country not rapping Malone. Is
different. No, it's true. Yeah, no, because usually I don't like the, you know, like that. What's that annoying TikTok trend where the white guys with the glasses did like, I'll choke.
Vanilla
is
Baby.
That him?
No, that's Jack Harlow. That Jack Harlow.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that guy either. But if he were to do this, with Beyonce, I'd probably like it. Beyonce would make me like anybody now, it seems.
Right. We give Jack Harlow a pass just because he was the one person that like actually embraced Lil Nas X and like does songs with him and everything because no one else in hip hop will. So,
oh, okay, we fine. We like him then. Fine.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But that song really drove me crazy.
I know. Gee, it's still in the top five on Billboard after all this time. Like, stop.
I can't because it's because of the TikTok trend that I can't stand it. That's it honestly ruined it for me.
It's a gift and a curse because obviously Texas Hold'em was a big one on TikTok too. And it's like, okay, you win this round, but you win this round.
Yeah. But like, I can't have like this white guy being like, I'll choke you, but I know killer. But, like, stop it. Creepy. I can't stop. The Linda Martell Show, where Linda Martell says, this particular tune stretches across a range of genres, and that is what makes it a unique listening experience. And it is Yaya, and I cannot wait to see what she does with this one live.
Right. Oh, this, you know what this reminds me of? It was like the way I'd love to watch her perform Why Don't You Love Me, which is such a deep cut, but like that song, the video, if y'all have never heard it, go listen to the song, go watch the video. But seeing her perform that song live is like a whole, like she puts everything into it. Like she'll be performing for like an hour and a half and then she'll do that song. And that's when all her energy like goes into it. And it's like, woo. And it's the same vibe of a song too. So I can see some things. Stuff.
Because it's these boots were made for walking, but better than I ever imagined anything could have ever been.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of reminding me a little too of Sly and the Family Stone with the way they keep bringing in the drum and the guitar, which is, I think, everything. My mom turned me on to Sly and the Family Stone when I was 16, and I was the only like 16-year-old running around being like, right. You know Sly and the Family Stone? They're like, what? Okay.
love that journey for you though.
Yeah. They're like, no, why? But like, what is this? Like, how am I supposed to get anything done ever again with this track? Okay.
Right. Right.
I listened to it over and over and I'm just like, I can't. What is this? What is that?
This album's been making me like text the most random things to people because me and Kaya were talking about it. We did exactly how we did Renaissance, which was like talk through each track as we're listening to it, like that first night. And so when we got to that song, she'd already heard it. And I, for some reason, my first thing was to say, this needs to be the song that Wednesday Addams dances to on season two. Like she did season one with that one song that like went viral. I was like, this is the song that she needs to dance to. I don't know why, but that's what it is. That's the way that
goes into Oh Louisiana. And Oh Louisiana is her singing, but they just added like a kid filter to it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And then Desert Eagle is another quick one that reminds you that she can do whatever she wants. It's giving me like Partition energy.
Yes.
But still country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then we get Riverdance. Riverdance is honestly you must listen to Riverdance with headphones in.
Yes.
I feel because she switches up from left to right in the speaker and like brings it in. Ooh, and then right into Two Hands to Heaven, as we've already discussed, into Tyrant with Dolly, and she drops a beat.
Yes.
On that. Sweet Honey Buck, and it's actually illegal.
Right.
Like jail, because it's too good. What do I like? I don't even know. It's three tracks basically.
But think about it. So I'm wondering if this whole honey, I'm guessing because like Honey Bee, but like I'm wondering if this is a theme, because remember Pure Honey on the first one was like.
Yes, it, very similar where it, where it does an abrupt shift, which I love. I love the second that's my favorite part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's on my shoulder. Oh my God, I listen to that all the time.
I know.
Listen to that way too much. But yeah, look at that horse. Look at that horse. Look at that horse. Are you kidding? Pretty as hell all natural. I can't stop saying that either. Pretty as hell all natural. Oh! God, it was so good. Bucking like a mechanical bull. Like it's, and then it ends with amen. Are you crazy?
Perfect. Perfect. No notes.
No fucking notes.
No.
Damn it. Wow, guys. Thank you.
So there are people saying that they haven't listened, but they're going to now. So please do.
Oh, really? You haven't listened, but you're going to now? It's so good. From start to finish. Just get from start to finish. Let it take you on a journey. Don't ask it to be anything.
It's right. It's going to take
you
a place
you didn't expect for it to go. Mm-hmm. Half the time you're like, what? Why? Oh my God. How did you literally did that? It's.
You're like, I was just crying. Why am I dancing?
Like. I don't know how I'm going to ever get anything done, like genuinely, right. Because I had to wait to listen to it. I couldn't listen to it like the night it came out because I was getting ready to record and I kept starting to listen and be like, no, I have to finish this. So I had to wait a minute. And when I finally did, I'm like, this is it. This is my whole entire life in existence now until.
Exactly. I'm buying boots to wear to work next week because what
I
am.
I literally put a cowboy hat in the cart.
Exactly.
Cowboy hat is in the fucking cart, you guys.
Cowboy Kendrick era is in full effect, just so y'all know.
I really think that that's a good that makes sense for you as a person too. I don't know why, but it does. It feels like you should be in your cowboy era.
Howdy, partner.
Like saying thank you, ma'am.
Oh, well, thank you, ma'am. You know.
That works.
Okay, okay.
Oh, yeah, that works. That works. Okay, good. Okay, cool. All right. We all have our orders. Cool? Yeah. Okay. So next week, Andrew and I are both going to be wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah. Love it.
Guitars or...
I'm going to try to find a banjo to come in here with.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
It's gonna be a good time next week. Don't miss it, y'all.
Same again. All right, now let's get to like not such fun stuff.
Oh gosh,
we got to talk about it. The let's get to the wrap up. Diddy's homes were raided. Anyone who was in the home was detained and, you know, questioned, whatever. But the part that really confuses me is at first it seemed like Diddy was on the run because he went from like San Diego to Florida. And then he was like, let me go to a country with no extradition. And everyone was like, oh, so he's running.
But right.
I swear he was running. But then someone strategically was like, you can't run because it makes you look like you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's back in Miami, out and about with
Stevie J, right?
And posing, looking like there's no care in the world. In what world do you order? Like, are you as federal investigators, federal agents are like, go raid his home? He's not under arrest though.
But
go raid. That doesn't make sense. That never. We watch enough true crime. If you're raiding a home, you're looking for the person who owns the homes.
Mm-hmm.
You're confiscating evidence, but they're definitely under arrest.
Yeah, a talking to at least has to happen. Like you got to go down to the station to talk about the things. You got to talk about the things.
Yes. So to me, it feels like very powerful people who've attended Diddy's parties.
Mm-hmm.
are protecting themselves and trying to get rid of, because they're like, let me look through that evidence, see if my name's on anything, see if there's a photo of me anywhere, see if, because of, by the way, like they were ever going to find, like Diddy has a bunch of evidence in his home.
Right.
That guy has like some cellar somewhere with, I don't know, like there's like chambers upon chambers of security to keep people protected. Mm-hmm. But it that's just not how it happens, where they execute a raid on two homes and the guy gets to just walk around and party in Miami.
Can I just say how my biggest issue with all of this was the fact that we all watched like his two kids get detained at the home.
Yes.
And that wasn't enough to bring him back. Like, wild to me. Like, he was still like out there, what we believe, fleeing the whole scene, and just like literally on Instagram Live with the rest of us watching his two children get in handcuffs because they're just there. So that's what's wild to me. It's like, okay, now you truly, like, it's all about you and nobody else. And that's a sad little man that you can't even think about your children first because you're so focused on whatever activities you got going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's got to be like high up people that have frequented a party or two of his, right? Like there's got to be like a politician in there.
Oh, for sure.
There's got to be like maybe a prince. Ooh. Andrew. Ooh. I don't know. Allegedly, but it's like
I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Clinton popped up in there somewhere.
It's giving all of that, and you know, we know what happened to Epstein. I would not be surprised if they found a way to get rid of Diddy, though. If it's too much smoke and he's gonna have to do something, have to talk, you know what I mean? I'm imagining like the movie that's going to be made about this.
Yes.
There's some like investigator who's trying to do the right thing and trying to take Diddy down, but they don't know what they're up against.
The powers that be.
Because maybe like their supervisor is one of the people that's protecting Diddy. And they're like, yeah, sure. Give me all that evidence you found on Diddy. Yeah. Right. Let me look through that. And like tears it up and throws it out. And they're like, what happened to my case?
Right. Like
I'm imagining that.
You meddling kids.
Yeah. Like, damn it, you took my case away. And they're like, prove it. You don't know what goes on up here. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just feels like a cloak of
nobody.
But also, he could.
Nobody wants to be involved in Jeffrey Epstein part two. So we don't know and no one's saying it's that extent, but like, we don't know what it is, literally, because obviously they're still looking for evidence. They got told something. They got told something, so they're looking for some things. And my whole thing is, we can look at the Cassie situation one of two ways. We can look at it as either, okay, well, Diddy's really smart. He didn't want this to linger. He knows that she went through hell with him for a long time and didn't wind up with a ring and all like that. So maybe he just wanted to like give her a parting gift and send her on her way happily. Or, more likely, he didn't want any more attention around his personal business, his personal affairs. It's so he totally paid to make that story go away as fast as possible.
As fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, had Cassie filed that lawsuit and this would have lingered, she would have had time to do Shade Room interviews.
Oh, yeah.
CNN. Like, she would have been doing the gamut, like everything from Instagram stuff all the way up to like national television. So he definitely didn't want that spotlight on him, because that would have opened up a world of even more people coming forward being like, yeah, me too. Hello. I was there. I was at a party. I was trapped in a closet like with him.
Totally.
You know, so that's the way I feel about it. So,
he wanted to shut her ass up as soon as possible, settle it, because then we'll put like a thing where she can't talk about anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, he shut her up immediately when he was like, this will be it. I think Cassie's the only one who'll come forward. And meanwhile, people are like, no.
Right.
Freak. Woo. You absolute freak. I will say I am happy when I do see like Shade Room, Jasmine Brand. I am happy to see the comments when there's, let's say they're reposting some asshole who's like, this is just a, because Biddy is a powerful black man and people mm-hmm. trying to take down a powerful black man or whatever. And it's great to see people saying, no, don't try to spin this like Diddy is here for our, for the culture or anything. He's doing this to other black people.
Right.
The victims are black. He's not for anybody mm-hmm. but himself. And like, I'll Be Sure is Ooh, coming child. Out with a book. Mm-hmm. And he says in it, he'll find out why, how he really got into a coma. Or no, is it a book? It's a film project. I'm sorry. It's not a book, which is good because then I'll be able to watch it because I don't read. and he's been open about how he thinks that Diddy had something to do with Kim Porter's death. Like, these Absolutely. Are just real fucking things. That, you know, he went, he got put into a coma. Who else did Diddy scare? Was it
Wale?
Yeah, I'm thinking of someone else. There's that many
people. Yeah, there's that many people.
There was someone else who he fucked with them, and then they were like, never mind, I'm not going to say another word. I can't, there are enough people like that. So Diddy has been alleged to be involved in Biggie's. I mean, that's taking it real far back, but like, we know that that's some conspiracy, but like, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the only thing about Biggie, Biggie was shot, right?
Yeah.
In a club, like, same type of thing, right? I can almost believe was pure retaliation.
Wait, who? Okay. Who shot in the car? Was that who was in the studio? Was Tupac in the studio and Biggie was in the car?
See, that's what I can't, I'm trying to remember this. Like, so I don't know.
Comment and tell us. Y'all know.
Yeah, exactly, right? So,
my whole
fiction is saying, actually, while yeah, keep going. Go, I'm listening.
My whole thought was that this entire time, I think this has been kind of the rumblings that a lot of people believe, was that Diddy was basically another version of Suge Knight, except he kept it way more private than Suge could. Suge wanted the world to know that he was this like tough boss that would like, you know, do whatever he needed to get business done. But Diddy did it a lot more undercover. And stories about Diddy have been out there for God knows how long. They just always seem to go away. People always get silenced. They always just don't get the media traction. And now for some reason, it's happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's new like era. Enough time has gone by. Some statutes have been put into play. Victims will be believed. And bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Addie. Ladies, did you know that one of the most common complaints from women about their sexual health is a frustratingly low libido? Our sex drives can decline, but it's also treatable. Addy, or flibanserin, is FDA approved and has been clinically proven to increase sexual desire in certain premenopausal women who are bothered by a low libido. So if you feel like you've lost your desire and you want to get it back, stop falling for the snake oils and ask your doctor about Addy today, or go to addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
Addy is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past, who have low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. The low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in men or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is also increased if you take certain prescriptions, over-the-counter or herbal medications, or have liver problems. Low blood pressure and fainting can happen when you take Addy, even if you don't drink alcohol or take other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of the ingredients in Addy. Allergic reactions may include hives, itching or trouble breathing, sleepiness, sometimes serious, can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including box warning, at addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Ask your doctor about Addy today or go to addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
So I've heard about Honey Love. I've heard about their bras that are so revolutionary. No underwire, but still giving you lift. Fabric that's so soft, it feels like second skin. Sure enough, they live up to their promise. Normally, my bra experience is digging into my skin in the back,
not fully supporting in the front. The straps digging into my shoulders, leaving marks. So I gave the Honey Love crossover bra a try, very skeptically. I was shocked. This thing was actually comfortable, and it actually made my boobs look good. Because you usually don't get both. And that back bulge, gone. I didn't even have any marks on my shoulders. So I guess they know what they're freaking doing over there. If you're looking for a more relaxed lounge bra, I recommend their V bra. It offers the support of a traditional bra without any uncomfortable underwire. It's designed to lift and separate with molded cups and is not a shelf-like bra that creates that uniboob effect. You know what I'm talking about? But Honeylove isn't even just bras. They also do shapewear. They do tanks and leggings. So pair your V-bra with their breathable, versatile leggings. Or get the matching shapewear to your crossover bra. Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, for workouts, weddings, everything. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/shespeaks. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/shespeaks. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Speaking of victims being believed.
Okay. They say Tupac was in the car.
Yeah, Tupac was in the car. Biggie was in the studio.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
Mike Shuhead. Mike Shuhead from Shaws of Sunset.
Oh, yes.
So he has been sued for domestic violence. So Paulina Ben Cohen sued him for alleged assault and battery, gender violence, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Mm-hmm. The complaint details the March 27th, 2022 incident at Ben Cohen's Los Angeles area home in which he claims she was viciously, brutally, and repeatedly assaulted and battered by her former fiance in a bedroom and a children's playroom. After Ben Cohen put her children to bed, she says she started to have a tobacco-free hookah, which is very common in her culture. I don't know why this was important. When she alleges Shuhead began an argument and called her a horrible mother, fucking whore, and piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Following the alleged outburst, Ben Cohen told Shuhead her feelings about their relationship and said he should leave the home, but he allegedly refused. She then began packing his belongings and asked him not to make this more difficult than it already was. At that time, Ben Cohen claimed in the complaint that Shuhead forcefully grabbed her hair and shoulder and violently threw her to the ground while she attempted to remove his clothes from a clothing rack. The incident is documented in screenshots of security footage in the filing, and the security footage is for real.
Oh.
He's got like his hand around her. Her head is like you can tell he's beating her.
Oh, God.
It's such a dark thing to see because the reason why this really hits for me is because when Shaws of Sunset was on, I think that was their last season, mm-hmm. All of this was very obvious. Like
I said, she was on the show, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. And the episode that always stuck out to me was there's an episode where Destiny throws like a Halloween party. And earlier in the episode, before the Halloween party, Paulina goes over to another cast member's house, Destiny, and she confides about the relationship, whatever. Then later, or maybe the next day, Paulina calls Destiny. And it's like you can tell that she had a fight with Mike and Mike like threatened her because she goes, hey, you know what we talked about yesterday, Destiny? Like, don't even bring it up. We're just going to pretend we're just going to not talk about it. And then she says to Destiny, and also I would protect yourself, too, and not get in the middle of this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then at the party, it's obviously all tense. He's all in a fucking nasty mood. And Destiny tries to get everyone to sit not with the people they normally would sit with. Mm-hmm. And Mike goes, no. And she goes, what? I just want Paulina to sit here. And he goes, no.
I remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then they get into a fight, Destiny and Mike. I posted this on Instagram. They get into a fight and Destiny's like, you won't even let me sit next to your girl. I want her to sit here. And you freaked out because you control her. And he looks at Paulina, and he goes, "Are you hearing what she's saying? She's saying I control you. Tell her I don't control you." Oh. I mean, that alone,
right?
Like, I'm controlling you enough to tell you to tell her I don't control you,
right?
That's insane. So then he gets in a huge fight with Destiny. He won't leave. It's a whole big mess of a thing. But this incident, when it came out, like, because he gets arrested, he pulls out a gun. And she calls, he gets arrested, but typical in cases of abuse, she makes up with him and goes on a vacation with him like a couple days later, which is unfortunately so clearly what happens. And so then Mike, in the meantime, has been in all these, like when he was still with Paulina, he would be posting, they reminded me of those. Remember that creepy video Louie did at the men's retreat? Louie from Jersey, Teresa's man? Like that creepy video where like he was being held hostage and he's like on his camera?
Where he was red as an apple.
Mike's Instagrams were reminding me of that. It would be like the shot of a sunset and like some stupid caption about how he's like trying to be a better man and take care of his woman. I don't know. Just it all was very bullshit like that. And he never got held accountable. And this pains me to say, but I always keep it fair. MJ, my girl, MJ David, who I love so much. She went on Bravo's Hot Mic recently to talk about all things Shaw's and her, you know, Bravo's Hot Mic is where they bring like all the people just to talk about their journey, right? And she, in real time, defended Mike and said he's doing really well. He's really grown. But mind you, this has never come out. We've never seen footage of this. She's never said, Paulina's never said outright, no, this happened. And yeah, MJ has not come forward and addressed this.
Ooh.
And I am very bummed. I'm like, you went out of your way to defend him. Now you need to go out of your way and say, I was unaware of this.
Yeah.
Because the screenshots are scary. I would post them, but I don't want to like trigger everybody because it's like, right. Oh, it's really, it's hard to see. It's like, so there's no denying this, dude.
He puts me in the mind so much of, I don't know who's worse, but Ronnie from Jersey Shore. Both of them just like,
why they both have like that same like red little compact like they look like you know in the Disney movie inside or the Pixar movie Inside Out,
yeah,
the little rage guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Louie, put Louie in there too, like they're like these little red angry like
hate it.
Hated it. I love saying that. Are you doing a throwback to the movie guys from okay, that's what I wanted. Hated it. For those who don't know, in Living Color they did like these movie critic reviews, and it's David Alan Greer and is it Damon Wayans?
Tommy Davidson, I think it was.
What? Tommy? No, it's the Wayans. I thought
maybe Damon then.
The oldest one, maybe.
Yeah, Damon. No,
not the oldest one. Meant,
oh wait.
Not the old, no, it's, I, what,
hold on,
regardless,
the guys, picture. I know.
Yeah, but they do movie reviews, and they're two flaming homosexuals, and so if any movie, like, they'll be like, Thelma and Louise is about two women riding off into the sunset together after they kill their man, then they look at each other, and they just go, hated it. And if it's a movie about a hot guy, they're like, loved it.
Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer.
Okay, I knew it. Yeah. I love David Alan Greer. I love that he had some moments at the Oscar. I fucking love him. Like, love him. Okay, let's move on. God, there's just so much domestic violence to cover. God. I don't want to get talking about.
Men are just
Christine
horrible.
Quinn, remember Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset and all that nonsense? Well, guess what her husband has gone and done?
Oh, dear.
He has gone and filed a restraining order against her.
I know you're lying.
Let me say for the record is very classic abuser tactic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's classic. And his version of the story, you guys, remember, like what we heard was he threw a bag filled with glass at her head and it ended up hitting the kid. So he's like, that's not what happened. And so the lawyer gives this ridiculous accounting of what happened. Okay, here we let me just tell you.
Let's hear it. Oh my God.
According to him.
A reliable source, clearly.
Right? The argument erupted over what he says are two dogs of theirs, which DeMontet, I don't know how to say that guy's name, says are not housebroken and who apparently crap and piss all over the place all the time inside their home. So they're dogs that need to be trained because they're babies. I don't know. Like, right. So he claims Christine refuses to have them trained and claims that he discovered the two dogs had urinated all over some very valuable belongings of his, even though he says he'd blocked off this area of the house from the dogs. And when he went to confront Christine about it, he says he found her in their bedroom with a bunch of cleaning supplies and a bunch of stuff strewn about all over. So she was cleaning?
Right. What's wrong with that?
He says he became angry and picked up a trash bag on the ground, which he claims was full of soiled rags and paper towels, and threw it against the wall in frustration. See, that's no matter how you slice it, why?
Right. And he's, he's leaving out the fact that it was in her direction because he didn't just throw it against the wall. Like,
because he straight up denies throwing this bag at Christine, as she claimed to police officers. And he also denies throwing the bag at their young son. Well, he went to the hospital. So the kid, there's like a record of the injury.
Good.
More importantly, he says the bag was absolutely not filled with glass, something we're told. Now, to me, this makes more sense that he picked up trash that had glass in it, because I was like, who has a bag full of glass?
Yeah.
Because that didn't make sense, but it makes sense that there was glass in a bag.
Right.
And that's
something fell
thrown
and broke, and she put it in there along with the other trash, and she's cleaning up. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And why is he throwing it? Because dogs pissed on, like, come on. I don't care, dude. They're dogs.
And that goes to show you that,
like, caring for people or things.
Clearly. That goes to show you, like, context is really important, because I literally was, like, picturing, like, a, like, see-through, like, Ziploc baggie, but, like, not Ziploc, like, of just glass for some reason. I'm like, whoa, like, that's a new level of violence to go and break something and put it in a bag.
He just keeps it on hand.
Right.
He's like, this is a great weapon. That's what I was picturing, too, like, a sack full of glass, like, bottles, like, just waiting to toss at you.
I'm like, this makes a lot more sense. Yeah, a lot more sense.
You grab the trash because you're a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, once the bag was thrown, he claims he tried to escort his son away from all the chaos, but alleges Christine snatched the kid up and holed it up in another room of the house. And he goes, before he knew it, cops came in with guns raised and he was arrested.
God.
Sir.
So the mother of your child went out of her way to protect her child and you have an issue with it. Okay.
Like, this is what you're offering as proof that you aren't abusive.
Right.
He's like, so, you know, these dogs, right? He's like, so mad at the dogs. These fucking dogs piss and shit everywhere. Fuck those dogs. It's like, whoa, seeming a little angry. Okay. Right. Anyway, but then, like, I walked in and just not that big a deal, right? I just picked up some trash and threw it at the wall. Like, not a big deal. It's like, no, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And clearly something ricocheted and hit your kid. And you're like, and then she's all dramatic and taking the kid away. It's like, you did that in front of the kid. First of all, that alone is bad. Even if there was no glass in it, you're getting mad enough about the dogs that in front of the kid, you're like, and like throwing something at a wall.
Right. Right.
That's scary for the kid.
Ooh.
So he's some bullshit, dude. Absolute bullshit.
Was he on the show at all? Do we remember?
I don't watch that.
Oh, that's right. We talked about
that. They must have gotten married. I know that he was on the show. Like, they were together on the show. So
that's what I said.
You must.
Am I lying? Someone tell me, because I always remember, like, the black wedding dress. I feel like that was like a whole thing, but I don't know if she actually, I might, you know, I make shit up sometimes. Let me look that up, actually. Christine,
like, did she have a black wedding dress?
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. I'm not lying. Hold on. I'm going to zoom in. Hopefully y'all can see this, but probably not. Yeah. Black wedding dress. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Only she could pull that off. Also because she's the mistress of evil. So on the show, at least.
Yeah. She played her role very well until they got rid of her.
Right. That show definitely needed her, though.
Well, okay. Speaking of a show needing somebody, that was a great segue. Portia Williams and Simon. Okay. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. When I saw this headline, Simon alleges Portia brought gunmen into their marital home.
Chill.
I was like, the drama, I knew immediately though, when I saw that, I'm like, please, like, you don't have armed men.
Right.
Like, to me, this sounds like, and even the rep for Portia said, like Mr. Guabadia, Miss Williams has a right to feel safe in the home. The parties have always had armed security, so this is nothing out of the ordinary for them. That's what I knew. I was like, Simon is like Mr. Scary, I'll fucking kill you in the back alley and no one will ever know type of scary. And she is like, fuck, what am I about to? But Portia, it's on you. You had to have known what you were getting involved in.
Sure. If you dated him a little longer, you probably would have known all this.
He's so gross. And like, so now that they're getting divorced, I'm like, you let that man lie on top of you. He's so gross. He's always creeped me out. Whenever they've kissed, I'm like, don't touch her.
Right. Stop it.
Stop it. Get off of mommy. She doesn't like that. I don't think she likes that. But here's another great part. Simon sent a cease and desist to True Entertainment saying, you better not film in my house. Don't film in my, cease filming in my home. Here's the copy of the deed. I'm the only one on it. Meanwhile, they haven't even filmed in the house.
Right.
They're like, we weren't planning on it. Once she filed for divorce, we figured it was off limits, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Because I did want to see their house.
I wanted to see their whole lifestyle. Yes. So I'm annoyed by that in regard. But they're both doing so much on social media that, well, mostly him, but he's doing so much on social media that we're not missing a damn step. But I wanted to see everything. I wanted to see the lifestyle. I wanted to see the butlers and the, like, everything. Yeah. I wanted to see it all. Like, I wanted opulence to come back to Atlanta. That's what they were missing. We had like real money in Atlanta, and I wanted to see it play out, but...
Well, I guess it goes,
like, we shan't.
Not real money.
You're right. Who knows what the hell it is, child?
And Portia has come out and said that all of the stuff that recently came out about him was what led to the divorce.
Isn't it crazy that when you put them, when you put Portia and Simon like on the docket, I literally didn't know which way you were going, because every single day there's a new headline about them, and I'm like, oh God, where are we going with it? Which one is it? I'm like, oh, the gunman. Okay, I forgot about that. That was 6 days ago, so I forgot about that story. I thought we were talking about what was he saying? You can't film at the house, or yes, he.
Oh, just so funny. They weren't even filming at the house. Usually a cease and desist means stop, but they're like, yeah, we weren't even there. He's like, okay, well then don't be. Okay. Right. Don't even think about it. How about that? They're like, okay.
Now I will say, Simon is a messy girl, but I will say he did make me laugh. He made me like grab my stomach laugh early this week. I will admit. And I hate to admit it, 'cause y'all know Portia's my girl. There was a story that came out that said, I think it was the one you were talking about, where she said that all of that did like play into why she decided to file for divorce, the whole identity thing and all like that. And he got in the comments and said, oh, all that happened when she was like 6 years old. And I'm like, okay, Simon, like, cut it. Like, I don't know if that's the flex that you think it is. And like, you were a grown man committing crimes when your wife was like barely in kindergarten.
It's actually so not a flex
at all.
It's like, yeah, ew, exactly, Simon. That's sort of what we've all been saying, is it's really gross that you've got certain feather because the age gap and all that shit.
I have to believe, I don't know about you, but I have to believe there's so much more to this story, because for him to already be like literally days after she files for divorce, already be on Instagram with another like Instagram model, like on vacations and stuff. I'm like, okay, you've been cheating a while and you wanted her to be okay with it. Like there's more going on than just this identity stuff. It has to be, because like,
oh yeah,
I think stuff that, number one, I think the deportation stuff probably played a much bigger role. But then two, I think that Portia, I think that he expected, like, in order for her to like live the lifestyle, that she would go along with a lot of stuff. Him not realizing that she has a name of her own and people know him because of her.
Yeah.
And that she doesn't need to go along with anything to get by. And that's what I believe. I think that he expected a power dynamic in their relationship, not knowing that she probably expected one too. And there, I think there was a lot going on, and I want to explore this in a new season. And I need his raggedy ass to make some appearances, because
oh yeah, I want him like mic'd up in a confessional.
Yes, like what are we doing?
Yeah, I need. If he's willing to talk, I want to hear it.
Which I think he's got to be doing all this for press. Like, I have to believe that Simon is more than willing to like be holding a peach in the opening credits. Like, I have to think that, because that man loves attention. He loves
Peter.
Attention.
Peter's, they're like, Peter, no one invited you. He's like, I know. I'm trying.
I'm just here.
Like, here ain't, no, you don't care. Peter is a mess. Peter is a mess.
Goodness.
Actually, but Peter and Simon are not, they have similar energies now that I think about it, even though I barely know Simon. Like, I don't know why. I feel like they could have like a creepy spinoff. Oh, the men of Atlanta. Oh, they could really have a spinoff. Some terrible, like Ralph. Wait, is Drew confirmed?
The alleged cast, they said yes, she was. They said that she was one of the few that like still from last season was on. I think they were gonna extend the invitation to, well, okay, I don't know if she had an invitation before Candy dropped out, but she's still around. Okay. So like, I think that Kenya, Drew, and Candy were the only ones that were gonna be there full time. Then they brought, you know, Candy dropped out, they were trying to get Portia back. Now that made a lot more sense, because they have a very similar friend group and stuff. And then I don't know where they're going to fill in the pieces. I'm hoping Ming Lee and some of the other girls around their cast. I wouldn't be shocked if they brought another name in too, honestly. Like, not necessarily another, like,
no, I agree,
celebrity, but like someone we know from reality TV elsewhere. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if someone else popped in.
That would be brilliant of them to do that. That would be very smart of them to do.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's going to be worth the wait, I feel.
I think so. I mean, listen, Portia signed on the dotted lines, and Atlanta's been in the headlines ever since. So I have to think that the things are thinking. So we'll see.
Portia got a development deal too, right?
Yeah.
That was smart of her.
There you go.
Smart of her.
There you go.
Support for today's episode comes from Jenny Kane Home, and I love home decor. You see, my dad, we found a place for him. He's going to go live there. I will stay in this two-bedroom, so I've got a whole other room to worry about. Just like Jenny Kane fashion, Jenny Kane Home is clean, it's effortless, it's refined, but it's cozy, it's classic, it's timeless. And don't forget, they have the most incredible scented candles. We love candles. These smell like what Jennifer Aniston's home would smell like, in my mind. I am all about making my home as cozy as possible, and their perfectly neutral pillows and throws are exactly what I'm looking for. There's no such thing as too many, by the way. Every room deserves a little luxury. That's what I always say. Their home furniture is to die for. The sofas, the sectionals, the beds. I also am going to do a complete overhaul of all of my flatware, my dinnerware, because I just want everything to be matching, chic, clean. So the Pacific Dinnerware Collection is perfect. It's durable, you can use it every day, but it's still a little flex when people come over, you know? They also have a really incredible rewards program where you can earn up to 10% back with every purchase, and joining is completely free, so why not? Find the perfect way to refresh your space at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code SHESPEAKS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JENNIKAYNE.com, promo code SHESPEAKS. This episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Ever heard of her? Her hair is so iconic, and she knows better than anybody about the damage we put our hair through between the heat styling, the coloring, the stress, the aging. It takes a toll. So Jennifer created a hair care line that not only repairs the look of that damage, but it also shields your locks from future harm. Every single time I'm out of the shower, the first thing I put in my hair is the glossing detangler. Every single time. But speaking of the shower, while I'm in there, I've got the in-shower trio of restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. The post-shower stuff, like I said, glossing detangler every single time. They also make a perfect leave-in conditioner, a lightweight hair oil. And here's the thing about ingredients. Everything is naturally derived plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, cruelty-free and vegan. That is vital. Unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code SHESPEAKS15 at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LolaV.com with promo code SHESPEAKS15. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Oh. Are we ready to go to Martha?
Sure.
Martha is back. Martha's Vineyard, Summer House. Martha's Vineyard is back. Mm-hmm. It was a great premiere.
It was. It was really good.
Really, really good. So we got Jordan and Jasmine are not in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan is cool with everyone else. Amir has a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Question. How do we feel? This is kind of just random. How do we feel about the theme music for Martha? It's giving me like a 90s sitcom kind of, which I don't hate. But like, I also have nothing to offer as like a different option. So I didn't know how we were feeling.
I can't even like play it in my head right now. Why do I not?
It's not memory. It's not like catchy.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So they need to redo it from ground up then. Ground up, baby. Ground up. Hate it.
Silas
don't remember, but hate it.
Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, sad, but like really, really happy that he's not on this season.
Mm-hmm. Scared me a little bit because he was a big part of last season, but they seem to be doing their own. So
Silas is an example to me of the type of like anomaly casting where they do create conflict, but they actually just get in the way of bonding.
Mm.
There was on Floribama Shore. That's what this one guy, Jeremy, was, where he was homeschooled. He was just off, not socially inept. Mm-hmm. And it created a lot of conflict, but I felt like it got in the way of what could have been like real connecting between the cast because he was just so, and that's what Silas was doing, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, he created conflict, but like he was just kind of getting in the way of a real good flow.
Yeah, and they're making Jasmine pay for it all season, so and I don't like that.
They are going to, well, but I'm going to say.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Jasmine did some shit last season, too. When you're in an, because I think that relationship is scary to me. Whenever they show the flashbacks of last year and the fights they had, I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot.
It was their first year. I was a lot more understanding of the relationship than a lot of people. Like Simon was terrible. I mean, it's not Simon is Silas. Terrible. Silas Simon is terrible too, though. But like they both like, you know, terrible. But like to me, it did. A lot of it felt like it was them not truly understanding each other because it's the first year and they like met during COVID and like all this kind of stuff. And it was another weird relationship where people are just like falling in love and getting married just because, honestly. And so I was like, they could either like work it out like as they go along, or it's going to be, you know, a very short-lived marriage in general. So like I was willing to like give them some time to like figure stuff out. I thought that like he was going to see himself on TV and be like, wow, I am an asshole, and then mm-hmm. start to change. Because especially since like a man in the military, I thought that like they would, you know, somebody be like okay figure it out or your ass can't do it no more.
Unfortunately, the military is notoriously horrible at holding men accountable.
True.
In fact, they do the opposite. They like right. find a way to protect them, even through their like own justice system. That's in no mm-hmm. women at all.
Right. Very true.
He freaked me out. I was like, this man could be abusive in a heartbeat. And in fact, he's talking to her real abusive, real controlling, warning her the comforts or whatever he said will change. Just trust me. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? I don't know. I'm actually kind of worried for Jasmine. Not going to lie. Yes. Now that she's pregnant too, because a lot of the time abuse kicks up when a baby comes in. This is all very textbook. And the way he was talking to her last season was really alarming to me. I was like, this is all very textbook shit. The way she was like trying to cook him food that he liked and he wouldn't like it. And that is just real red flag.
Yeah.
And so I don't think she's even aware of how much she is shifting her personality to please him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I kind of wish Jordan would be a little bit more like another woman should watch that footage and be like, oh shit. Because there's a whole psyche behind a woman or a man in an abusive relationship. She's changed her entire personality. Everyone says that. Every single person in Jasmine's life that knew her before Silas is like, who is this person?
Yeah.
That's very scary. And so she's like trying to conform and be this person that she's not. And so Jordan just took offense to it because she couldn't. That's what's disappointed me a little bit with Jordan. I was like, you have your right to your feelings.
A lot for me
to feel that way. But like, you can't look. How do you not see that your friend is in a situation that could be kind of dangerous? And like, you should be reaching out. Like, what is happening with you?
Yeah.
And
can I say,
if she doesn't want to come correct, if Jasmine's going to be like, what did I do? Then fine. But you didn't even talk to her.
Right. This is probably a super hot take too. I don't like Jordan.
You know how I feel. Yeah, she just...
Right. Last season I didn't, and this season seems to continue to. I find her to be an undercover mean girl, but she's trying her best to hide it. And so last season I found all of her kind of explosions on the show to not make sense to me. I was like,
same. One about the men, all the men want to do is, remember that one, like that real big explosion? I don't know. I right there with you. Yeah.
Everything was so, like, that's how I found a personality. And so to me, all of this whole like, well, we've all been hanging out all summer and then taking all the pictures and posting them on social media, that was very targeted. I feel like that was just mean girl behavior so that Jasmine knows, like, as we're going into the season, you're not on the inside with us. You're on the outs. And I don't know if you want to do something to fix it, but I don't care anything about it. And just like you said earlier, like this relationship seemed to be alarming to a lot of people. And if your first thing was to be like, oh, well, let me center myself in what could potentially be an abusive relationship and be the most important person in it and decide I'm going to go away from it and not care about my friend and stuff, then it's like,
your camera went away for some reason.
I know. This is what we dealt with last week with you. Oh, dear.
I know. I will write another strongly worded letter. Oh, and he was disconnected completely. Oh, he was in the middle of such a good point. Okay. Let me actually go to the comment section. He'll come right back. He'll come right back. I don't like her either. Oh, good. Okay. I believe she had a boy. Oh, she did. Oh, did she already have the baby? Oh, damn. I'm stupid. I feel for her on some level. Jasmine is already annoying. I like the idea of Quad. Interesting. Hello, sir.
Who knows?
I was just reading through the comments, and a lot of people actually kind of agree with you.
Ooh.
I know. It's not always fun. Let me look over here. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, have they, oh, but that's someone else. Have they talked, someone goes, have they talked Potomac or VPR? What? No, this is not that. anyway, sorry. That's why I got to cover the comments up. What were you saying?
I will be watching the Potomac reunion, though. I didn't watch most of the season, but I love reunion. Reunions do it for me, so I will be watching it.
I will, too. Do you remember what you were saying about how Jordan could have seen that this was an abusive relationship, but instead she's going around and she's posting online.
She centered herself in it, I feel like. And it's like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm the true victim of how the way Silas talks to Jasmine, because now she's not the friend I want her to be. And it's like, that's how you're interpreting this? Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird to me sometimes with how she reacts to certain things, and it kind of annoys me. And I feel like people want to really like Jordan. I'm just not one of those people.
Yeah, no, I felt this like last season. I was trying real hard, and even on Winter House, I was trying real hard. Danielle kind of took the cake on Winter House because Danielle was being so crazy. But I always feel like I'm. Even when Jordan went on Watch What Happens Live, her first Watch What Happens Live appearance,
so boring,
And I just feel like she doesn't really show up. And with the Jasmine stuff, the only fights they really had were because Jasmine made an awkward conversation starter, and that's pretty much it,
right? And she held on to that, and it's like it feels like there's something deeper, like you didn't want to be her friend anymore or something. If that's the case, tell her. But like the reasons you're giving me as a rational human being, like rationally thinking human being, that like we should all hate Jasmine, it's not landing for me if that's her intent, because I haven't seen anything that Jasmine's like explicitly done to her to make me think that, like, wow, Jasmine was a terrible person or so. If anything, then, like, I'm agreeing with you that, like, Jasmine's fighting her own battles at home, and that maybe we should be more compassionate or maybe we should reach out a hand to help her instead of centering yourself and being like, oh, no, this is all about me. Yeah. Me.
Yeah, I agree. Is Jasmine pregnant this summer? Is that why she's not drinking?
She's saying that she doesn't know she is right now, but she's already had the baby. So I'm guessing she has to find out soon.
Right?
If she doesn't already know.
Yeah. How? Okay. So moving on to something else. How do we feel about the bunk bed prison like setup?
Not the prison.
Like, it just, the symbolism isn't great, guys. It's just like,
don't love that.
I saw that. I was like, ooh, because it's an all black cast. So
don't love that.
Great. I know that they do this across other shows, like Jersey Shore will do that, where they put them in a house and there's like some sort of trickery with the rooms. It's like, oh, right. Funny. I think they even did it recently, but like, I don't know. This just felt like, oh, feel good.
Yeah. And then this was like supposed to be the upgraded house, right?
Exactly.
Nah, I don't love
that. I'm like, didn't they all get rooms last time?
Right. I'm like, this is definitely a downgrade, but okay. I don't know.
Like, maybe it's bigger in some other areas, but they should all get a room.
Yeah. Not I would like, think at least. Or at least like a privacy curtain.
I could not sleep out in the open like that. I want to close a door for 2 weeks. Amir's like kind of excited about it, though. He's like, I'm excited. I'm going to just hang out with my guy friends.
God, I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, I hate everything about this.
You would have been like the girls like smuggled Preston into there. They were like,
right.
Get yourself there now. You, that would have been you. You would have got
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Shanice is back and she is going to be full time. I want to remind everyone, though, because last year, Kendrick and I tried to be like, I think Shanice's ex is probably just, you know, because it gets brought up that she was accused of stalking and like all this stuff. And so at first, Kendrick and I were like, you know, I feel like it probably wasn't even that big a deal. The ex probably doing whatever. I just want to read. What we ended up discovering, I think it was like live on air. We were like, oh, okay, this might not be great.
Yeah. The insecure guy, right?
The insecure guy. Norman Towns, who was in a few episodes of Insecure, exposed their breakup, accusing her of stalking and posting a multitude of screenshots to his IG story of Shanice incessantly blowing up his phone through text, email, fake accounts, and any other means of communication. Towns alleges that Shanice slept outside of his house and distributed revenge porn after he tried to break up with her. Shanice's side of the story differs significantly. In the second episode, she said that she simply repeatedly called him, but Towns fabricated the rest to garner press. She went on to say that he attempted to press charges and obtain a restraining order, but nothing came to fruition because there was proof of mutual communication, which was true. He had been texting her, and so she was able to show, like, this isn't a guy who needs protection from me because he's texting me. So they had a very, like, tumultuous relationship, but I also, like, believed somewhere in the middle there's some truth there.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Shanice pissed me the hell off last year too. So I'm gonna see if I like her.
Do you remember why? You remember you said you hated the way she got out of the car.
Got out of that car.
That is so me. I'm like, nope. I hate
she
that.
Got
hate
out of that car. She didn't help with the luggage. She just walked in like, "Hey, I'm here." And I'm like, "Oh, you're just not worry." Okay, fuck you. It's over forever.
Can we read some of the comments real quick? Because
yes.
Martha's Vineyard is sparking some convo. I love this.
Ooh.
Let me see. Who was it? Evil Angel is making some good. She says, "Thank you for calling out Jordan's BS. Glad I'm not the only one that sees she's behind the scenes mean girl who wants to be the victim. I don't see how she's how she was that mad still. Most brides." Let me see when. Hold on. That wasn't the one I want to read. Wait, hold on. She said, "I feel low-key Jasmine thought she would be the first to find the one and get married first and is actually jealous." I didn't want to say it out loud, but that's the way that I felt too, because I feel like that... Oh, God.
Just I'll leave it.
Down in a minute, I know. I feel like that's what happened.
Out last time? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it just booted me out.
Oh, I can't wait to write a strongly worded letter to the StreamYard.
Right. Hold on, why did I touch my... I don't know why I just did that. Didn't make any sense. Okay. I wanted to say that, but I didn't want to say it. So I'm glad someone else said it so I could talk about it, because that's the way I felt. This feels like there's some underlying stuff. And if it is, I know somebody mentioned it. Silas said something about Jordan, but I thought they had gotten over it at that same dinner. So I didn't think it would linger. But, you know, maybe people hold on to stuff differently than other people do. But that's what it felt like to me. It felt like Jasmine, you know, I think Jordan, people that think that that person, like that girl or that guy, whatever, I think they see other people as just not. And so when good things happen to them or befall them somehow, they can't rationalize how it's happening to them instead of themselves. They can't figure out well, why did someone propose to her? I don't understand that. When I'm readily available. And that's kind of what it seems like with Jordan sometimes. I don't want to put that on her, but I don't know. She comes across as, someone says she comes across as better than, and that's the way I feel too.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much.
And I don't watch Winter House, but apparently in the comments they're saying that's how she came across on there too.
Yeah, she's just kind of boring.
Right.
Alex and his no drinking vegan passive aggressive meditating toxic ass.
That's who I'm ready to talk about.
I don't like him. I don't like him at all. Summer ignores his ass. He walks in, he's even like, "What's up, Summer?" And she just, I don't know if that was editing, but she just is like, just shakes her head. Nope. Amir is way too into his girlfriend. I feel like they're setting it up for something to happen, but it's probably not. It's probably going to be kind of boring.
No, because I think they're still together.
Yeah, they're still together. Noelle is the new girl.
Yes.
Wait, here's my... Okay, hold on. Her little Chiron or whatever they call it says legal IT associate. I want to talk to all the people who have worked with Noelle over the years and just, is she your favorite coworker ever? Has everyone been telling her, you need to be on TV? You right. need one. Because she's one of those people. Oh, you're back. She's one of those people who is everything that comes out of her mouth is entertaining and funny. And she's and I like we all have people like that in our lives where it's like, oh, you should just be documented. Everything that you do, just a camera following you. She is one of those people. So I
she feels like old Louisiana on the cardboard card.
Oh my God.
That's her vibe. So
accurate. She is old. Oh my God, well done. Well done. She was meant to be on TV in every way. Even when she's like in her room, like unpacking her stuff, and she ends up falling between the beds and she just like sits on the floor and like takes a beat. Like, okay, get it together. Slow down. Slow.
I really like her, but it's to me, it's kind of obvious that she was a let's do a casting call and find somebody to join the house. Kind of, it doesn't seem like she has genuine connections with anybody, but I'm hoping she forms them because she seems really fun. Like I'm hoping the group, you know, she gels well with them over time.
A thing with Bria. Is that her connection?
I think it is.
Right?
Yeah. I need to see a picture of them like from 2 years ago at least. Like, don't give me I just met her at Essence Fest and then and she's on the show now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bria comes in, speaking of Bria, she comes in with some like beef with Preston that she's not like totally sure of exactly what the beef is, but it's beef and it's there. But Preston's father passed away and he was estranged for years. And this is a big one for Preston.
Yeah.
Because the service is the next day, their second day there. And the family on his dad's side disinvited him, his sisters. Like it's a thing, and he's very emotional about it, and I just hate seeing this man hurt. I want to take his pain away.
Yeah, which is wild for a family for like it's always crazy when people side with someone who chose to be absentee in his children's life. It's like to side with them and then treat the children like they're the enemy. That's a choice. Like that's a toy. So either there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know, or this is pretty typical of what happens today. It's wild.
No, I completely agree. It's like, how do you not see that the kids were hurting and had to do what they had to do to protect themselves? Mm-hmm. Instead, you just make it worse. So
Amber in the comments said Noelle gives me Phaedra vibes in a good way.
Yes. Agreed. Yes. Very much so. There's a trampoline there in this house. As soon as I saw them all jumping on the trampoline, because Shanice is jumping on that in a teeny bikini. And let me tell you, I would never be like, look at this body hot, jumping up and down.
Right.
All of its glory. Like never, ever, ever. But Preston hurts himself. And I'm not kidding. I saw that coming. I think because I've been on a trampoline with more than one person. And as soon as you start jumping, you're like, this was a mistake because everyone's going to be jumping in different times. And like the whole point of the trampoline is to be in a rhythm. And so like, if you're going down when I'm still, it's going to be a mess. And so when he hurts himself, I'm like, yeah, I could have told you that. Like I was watching it very afraid. Like, stop it. Not all of you. Right. Once.
And let me tell you something. You've never felt like the random pain as you do when your knee or your leg gives out while you're jumping on a trampoline because you just woo and you go right down. Boy, oh boy.
My ankle hurt just looking at it. Mm-hmm. I was like, yep, I'm man down, man, diva down. Okay. Diva down. At dinner, Jordan gets good and messy and calls out Alex for having an event that he didn't invite everyone to. And Summer was like, perfect. I was waiting for this. She's like, I wasn't invited even though I was in New York. And first of all, Alex goes, I host intimate music experiences. And I was like, I just can't
shut up.
You. I hate you so
shut
much.
Up.
Shut up, Alex. You be quiet. So Alex, he tries to lie. He tries to lie and say he didn't know Summer was in New York. And she's like, you fucking saw me on FaceTime earlier, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And so Summer stood up for, she's like, I have stood up for him. because some people don't see him, quote unquote. He doesn't allow people to see him. Girl, no, you need to stop with that talk right there. That's not you. You're not the only person that sees the real Alex. It's very toxic thinking. We don't think that way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get that out of your head. But Bria is like, oh, you want to talk about not inviting people to things? You guys went to dinner and didn't invite me. Dude, it was when fucking Summer was in New York staying with Jordan. She took her out to dinner. They went to dinner.
Very different. Very different.
And they're like, can you fucking stop? Because that is not the same thing. And Preston starts yelling, what is happening? And Bria goes, if you want me to leave, I'll leave, Preston. This is where I like Noelle, though, because Noelle just kind of shakes her head and she goes, no, you're not leaving, Bria. She goes, we still eating.
Same.
Wait till after dinner, at least.
Same.
Then it like pops off between Bria and Preston. And Preston was on Bravo, We're Black.
Yes.
And they said, like, was it like super edited? Was it like cut down? He goes, nope, it was about that fast. Because she... Hold on. When Preston gave me the line, you want to make a scene? I can make a movie. I said, instantly classic. I'm going to say that from now on. But he's like, he doesn't give a fuck with Bria. He's like, oh, you're going to cry now? Are you going to cry now? You could do that all day long to Bria. We don't fuck with Bria. And then Bria from across the lawn, she's like, Twitter it. Put it on Twitter. Please. Okay, whatever. God. But this thing is resolved so fast. It's like she goes inside. What did they cut out of this? Because it really seems like all Summer had to say was, if you say you love him, then go out there and whatever. And she goes, okay, so I just go out there and apologize. Yeah. And that's it.
It's like that concept is so foreign to Bria. Like, we know she wasn't apologizing for anything last season.
That's why I was surprised. I was like, this is the same Bria? Because Bria would have held, she would have been holed up in her room the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how many times she did that? She kept going up to her fucking room, staying in her room, locking herself. Ew, I just remembered that. Yeah. Bria made us mad last year. She made us mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that Amir is annoyed by it. In his, he's like, Bria is the only one that can throw a tantrum and we just let it go.
Ooh, let me throw it back. Okay. So I don't know if y'all remember, I interviewed Amir last season on my podcast. And they're kind of talking about like when they talk about like the text message threads and stuff like that. Apparently the group chats were a big point of contention amongst this group because people were leaving, people were getting kicked out of the group chats. There wound up being a whole separate group chat where people getting left out of it. So like this all seems very coded to being like, you bitches are trying to kick me out of this group and I'm not having it. Okay. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Remind me when we get done. I have a fear for this season. And I want to talk about it.
Fear?
No, not that it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be an amazing season, but I have a fear for a cast member.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, Noelle is just giving me life. Any little thing Noelle does, any little thing. Mm-hmm. Like she's just any, it's an interview soundbite. This is a very obligatory interview that they do for new people. The producer most likely prompts and says, what are your thoughts when you see all this fighting on the first night, the first dinner? And usually they say something really annoying, like made me think like, what have I gotten myself into?
Right.
Crystal, not Noelle. She does what you're supposed to do. Cause I can just see it. She goes, well, you know what? I just said, what's next?
Right.
Thank you. Because I hate the obligatory interview soundbite that they put in. I'm like, don't ask the new person what they thought about all the fighting. Because if they didn't know there was going to be fighting, I don't want them on the show.
Right.
So she passed the test. She passed that test for me. But okay. After all the fighting with Bria and Preston, mm-hmm. Summer picks it right back up. And he's like, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't know you were in New York. And Amir goes, he's telling you his truth and you're not accepting what he's saying. Even Jasmine's like, okay, well, that's not.
Not what's happening. Right
now. You can't say he's telling his truth when it's just a lie.
Like, right. A blatant
get to
one.
The bottom of this. Like, what are you talking about? As Summer goes off, though, Summer starts going off. Alex whispers. He just goes, calm down. I didn't like that.
There's no quicker way to piss me off in an argument than being like, are you upset or can you calm down? You haven't seen me upset yet. I promise you. Because if you did, there'd be choppers outside. Like, you have not seen me upset. So, like, don't tell me to calm down.
And Summer goes, you don't invite the person you've been inside of. And then it's on. It's on. The table's like, what? Whoa. Okay. Shit. Damn. But here's what Alex does. And it makes me so mad, you guys. He deflects real smooth to Jasmine. He goes, oh, you want to talk about not inviting people to things? Think about when you've done that to some other people. Now, listen, if she had done it to him, fine.
Right.
Summer's like, have I done that to anyone here at the table? And Alex goes, Jasmine, she's not been there. And I went, oh, this motherfucker tagged in Jasmine, who he knew was ready for this conversation. And sure enough, deflects right off of him. And Jasmine picks it up and is like, yes, there were times and da 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 da. And so as Jasmine's saying her whole thing, Alex is looking around like, checkmate, bitches.
Can I just say, I want to be mad at him for this because I'm mad at him for everything else.
But damn.
This is one of my tactics. Like, I learned this in the Kenya Moore School of how to argue with people. Out Kenya, nobody is better at deflecting onto someone else than Kenya Moore. And I learned that a long time. I was like, ooh, that was a good. She literally was supposed to be like fired from this, but like literally got them to start arguing instead. I'm like, this is brilliant. He did it perfectly. And that's the only, you did that one thing, Alex. Okay. We're going to give you that. Nothing else, because I still got to read your ass for this whole episode.
It was smooth.
So I'll give him that, because that's exactly how I would have played it. I'm like, well, I wonder how Jasmine feels about not getting the invitation. Jasmine? And then I would have been like, okay, good. Let me go back eating my crab legs before this shit get cold. So
Jordan goes, look, I'm down to have this conversation, just not like here in public. And Jasmine's like, oh, I know. We were just having a conversation about not inviting people to things. So I brought it up. No, actually, Summer was calling out Alex for not inviting her to specifically one thing. And then he somehow spun it. And now we're here.
Right. Right.
Okay. Just so we're clear on that. Mm-hmm. Pressing with the ice on that ankle. What did I say? I said, this is going to be a problem. Once an ankle goes to, oof.
Yeah.
An ankle injury. I am so prone. I haven't had one in a while, knock on wood, but when you get them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing that I'm so glad is going to get brought up next week, because it wasn't harped on at all, which I actually kind of like. Because I thought I was maybe the only one who noticed it. Mm. So there's a part where Jordan, Nick, and Summer are posing for a picture. And Nick has his arm like all the way around Jordan. And she has to like physically push his hand off. She's like, put your hand. And he's like, what, here? She goes, no, put it in the put on her hip. No, put it on the goddamn counter.
Okay, right. Kendrick,
I swear to God.
God damn it. I left it alone for a while last night and clicked and it came back. So we're gonna try it again.
We're gonna try that. Because that really creeps me the fuck out. Like, she had to really like hard move his hand off of her.
Yeah.
So that next was week, super creepy. When she says, he's just always touching me, I'm glad it's going to get brought up. Because that alone, I was like, you should not have to force a man's hand off of you.
Right.
Like,
especially a man with a girlfriend, right? Does he still have this girlfriend? Do we know?
He claims he does. Actually, did he say he does?
Who knows? Who knows? Wait, he lies all the time anyway, so who knows?
He is a liar. Yeah, he is a liar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolute liar. But so I didn't like that. And I'm glad they're going to bring that up.
Yeah.
The truth booth, though, this season, I love the decor in that truth booth.
Very girls trip, right? Very ultimate girls trip. Love that.
Yes. No, I love the production on this show. It's slightly different than the regular Summer House. Mm-hmm. It has its own identity, its own branding. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
But fucking Alex is so damn cocky in the truth booth, though. He goes, ugh, I can already feel the drama. I don't like that word. You know, I don't like that word. Mm. I don't like it when someone says that shit. I hate when someone's like,
especially when they're the cause of it. Like, shut up.
You're the drama. You create the drama. And then you're like, I hate drama. I hate it. I hate it. Okay. Let's see. What else do I have in here? Noelle's getting, I wrote a lot of shit down about Noelle. Just dumb little stuff about Noelle. I go, Noelle is getting ready, doing her hair. And she just starts booty popping. And I swear, this is how she's been her whole life. We are finally getting that person who was meant for television.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a boat day, and even Milo is there, which actually kind of freaked me out. I was like, there's like a little netting.
Because it wasn't the biggest boat, so I was a little nervous. Yeah.
I would have just had him like in a little pupusa, like on the front of me. Like,
yeah.
He's not moving today.
Yeah.
Preston opens about his dad, so we get a little bit of that backstory, and we always love that. They throw music on and they start having a time, and then it goes, battery is low, and just shuts off.
You got to make sure the battery's charged before the turn up.
You're going to bring a speaker. Come on, guys.
God.
So Jasmine and Jordan talk over to the side, and Jordan's whole energy, there we go. Jordan's whole energy is like, Jasmine owes me a big apology and I owe her nothing.
Exactly.
And I get that Jasmine maybe didn't own up to enough of it, but I have to say again, I'm going to go back to this as a friend of hers, Jordan, because she is so different than when you met her. It should be more of like a concern rather than like a, I don't even know this person. So, well, what has she done now? We can move on. Like, why wouldn't you want to just give her a hug and be like, Silas isn't here. Let's see how this vacation goes. I don't know.
Right.
Even Jasmine goes, I wasn't being authentic. I was surviving. Like that terminology that would knock Jordan out of it.
Right.
You know,
because there was a lot at play. Not only was it her first year of marriage, her first year of marriage was being televised. I'm sure all of this was running in her head the entire time. So, like, her season blues, give her a break. She's going to try. She's trying to, you know, now she realized she doesn't need to put on for the camera. So, give her a break. Give her a break.
Have fun with her.
Right.
Alex and Summer talk, and he's his main concern to me is shutting her up and letting her, and having her never tell any details.
Yeah.
That seems to be like the only, and I feel like the only reason he's concerned about that is because he tells people lies. So when he says, that she sent a picture of him to Jordan and then Nick found out through that. And then, so he's like, whoa, now you're taking pictures of me and not even telling me. Like, what? That's why is it that much of a secret that you're hanging out?
Right.
I just feel there's something so snaky about how concerned he is that she not talk about the details.
Because he's got other women that he's juggling.
And like, or he's told, you know, even the guys, like he's told them like, oh yeah, no, I've been talking to this one girl and like leaving certain things out. I just feel like it's very snaky and calculated and weird. And he's, oh, I don't know, the way he's like, so you're taking pictures of me and I don't know what? Sending them to a mutual friend, like, was it really meant to be a total secret, like a top secret thing that you were hanging out with? That's weird.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Summer has a bit of an unhinged energy in this moment. She does. Okay. She goes, people have sex. People enjoy life. Who gives a fuck? That's what that's where I'm at. I'm like, yeah, no, I think.
Right.
You don't want to fuck this man anymore.
No, get out of there. Abort mission immediately.
Abort it. Ugh. Get done. Be done with it. Sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Two things. One, Alex, the reason he annoys me so bad is because it feels like he's consciously like hiding behind this, oh, I meditate, I'm on a higher plane.
Yeah.
I'm this advanced man. Does all this just to do the same creepy, low down, dirty stuff that other men do. And you're not fooling anyone. That's what I hate when people think that like they're smarter than the rest of us because they're so like, oh, well, I don't raise my voice during arguments, or, oh, well, I meditate. So, you know, obviously I'm better than you and all. So it's all like his whole persona kind of grates me every time I have to watch him on TV. I mean, good character for the show because, you know, he's obviously terrible, but like he grates me like having to watch him. And then two, I'm a little nervous for Preston.
Oh, ooh, I had a weird feeling you were going to say this. Okay, go on.
I am, because he's coming across kind of as, I really enjoyed him first episode, but like the way now, like, because I feel like the red carpets are a lot and all the kind of stuff. I'm nervous that like this is going to go to his head really fast. And I think that he's going to become, I think the Nene effect might kick in and I'm kind of nervous for him.
I actually see a little bit of what you're saying, because there's nothing like the magic of the first season, right?
Right.
But now they've got a lot of press. He was such a fan favorite, and he's so close with Jordan, and so like proudly close with Jordan. And that's what I don't know why, like, his proximity and closeness to Jordan is concerning me.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, making it all that work. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I see what you're saying. I do. Okay.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Oh, I am. Oh, I am, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, Kendrick, I've kept you for an hour and a half. I'm so sorry. But I had a look. Thank you very much. This was a great time.
From the
Beyonce journey to this. We started with Beyonce and ended with Martha's Vineyard. Today's a good day.
Perfect
Sunday.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter, okay? Mm. Thank you. Yeah. Guys, make sure you're following Kendrick at Reality Comics 2 on Instagram, and make sure you're listening to his podcast, Reality and Comics 2, everywhere you get your podcasts. Love you guys. Yeah. Mean it. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud 10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and/or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm or something. You can also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.